to go ahead and get started. I feel like I need to do one of those little kindergarten, one, two, three, eyes on me. My oldest daughter just finished today her last day of student teaching. She graduates on Friday. She was in a kindergarten classroom, so that was a little homage to her. So, welcome. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. My name is Emily Collins. I am one of the teachers and leaders at one of our women's ministries program, Insights, here at Kensington. And I am thrilled that this room is packed. I have to admit, when I had the idea to have Sue present this to you tonight, I thought, oh, maybe 50 people will come. Maybe 50. And then I thought, oh gosh, I mean, if we're lucky, I mean, if God really moves, 100 people might show up. There are over 300 people registered for this event. That is amazing. And really, what that speaks to me is that you want to know God more. There are so many voices out there, amen, that are telling us who we should be, what we should do, what we should think. But you are here tonight because you care about the one voice that is speaking truth. And so I am just so excited. I'm thrilled that there are this many people, this big of a turnout. Originally, it was presented to our women's ministries group, Insights. Raise your hand if you're an Insights lady. Woohoo! And if you're not an Insights lady, you can sign up. No. I will plug it, but I'm not going to be shamelessly plugging it yet. Raise your hand if Kensington is not your home. Wow. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I know we've got all of our campuses sort of represented, right? How about Birmingham? Where's Birmingham ladies? How about Orion ladies? We've got our Troy ladies. Clinton Township. Birmingham. Birmingham? Oh, I already said Birmingham. They're like, yeah, pay attention, ladies. Shelby, thank you. All right. This is awesome. I'm so glad. So I have to tell you, just really quickly before we get started, Sue ran through this training with me and a few other women back in November. And it was really amazing stuff. It's very simple. There's no magic secret to it. But I have to admit that I did not even start to practice this listening prayer until probably January. And I'm telling you this hopefully to encourage you so that you can learn from my mistakes, that as I was thinking about it, I realized the reason I didn't was fear. Part of the fear was, will God speak to me? I'm probably going to be the one person who sits down to listen, and God won't speak. And I'll be sitting there listening like, you know, was that him? Was that him? What was that? So just being afraid that he wouldn't speak to me. And then there was a fear, what if he does speak and I don't like what he says? That whole, you know, sell everything you have and give to the poor, I'm like, oh, don't tell me that. I don't really want to do that. And I'm laughing, but I want to encourage you because fear can stop us from doing a lot of things. But God loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. And the word says that perfect love casts out fear. And so we don't need to be afraid to come into his presence. I was thinking about this too with my kids. I have teenagers. Raise your hand if you've got teenagers. Yeah, everybody like, oh. I was thinking, what if my teenagers came to me every morning and said, Mom, what do you want us to know today? What do you want us to know so that we can better know you and obey you? I thought you'd have to pick me up off the floor because my heart would have stopped. But that is exactly what this is. You are his daughter. You are his daughter, and he is your daddy. And as much as we would love for our kids to approach us with that, how much more does he want us to approach him with that? Can you imagine his heart, how it rejoices when his precious little girl comes to him in the morning and says, "Daddy, what do you want me to know today? What do you want me to know so that I can know you more, trust you more, obey you more, and love you more?" And that is exactly what you are going to learn tonight. And the fact that there are so many of you here is a testament to how much you want more of God. And so I'm going to introduce Sue. Sue has spent hours, countless hours, before the throne of her daddy, on her daddy's lap, learning to know who he is, and in the process, learning to know who she is. And Sue has been told by God, she's been given part of her identity, is that she's an igniter of women. And so, ladies, it is my prayer and my heart tonight that you get set on fire. Does anyone want to get set on fire? So, Sue, if you want to come up, we will pray. I'm going to pray for you and for the women. Sue Anderson, ladies!
Thank you, Emily.
Oh, Father, we are so honored and privileged to be able to come to you tonight as your children, as your daughters who want to know you more. Let your Holy Spirit fall in this place. Set these hearts on fire. Every woman that is here, let her hear your voice, God. Give her the tools that she needs to come in your presence, Father. Let your anointing just fall on Sue. Every single word that proceeds from her mouth, let it be from your mouth, God. Fill her with peace and just every heart prepared so that we can know you more and our hearts will just be on fire for the desire for more of you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Okay. Hi, everyone. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Like Emily said, just so thrilled that you're all here. This is a journey that I've been on. And when I was seeking God and asking him all kinds of stuff, I never thought it would be to share with 300 women. So I'm really glad you're here. I do want to say thank you to Emily and Jeannie for inviting me to come. And I thank you to Patty. You do all the logistics and you do it so well. Thank you so much. And all you ladies that brought dessert, I don't know, there's just something about dessert, isn't there? It's like when we all eat, it's like we're at home. I feel like I'm at home with all my friends and I'm getting ready to tell my story. So thank you for being my friends and thank you for coming to listen. I'm married to Don Anderson. He is the global director here at Kensington. And so I've been married to him for 33 years. We have three daughters, not 30. I'm a little nervous. I'm trying to get it out, you know, before I get into God stuff, which I love. Got to get all this stuff out. But I have three girls, and all three of them are married. They were married in a span of 2.5 years, all three of them. So it's a miracle that I'm standing here and not still in a funk. But when they were little, it was so much fun. My house was so much fun. It's quiet now, and it's not so fun. But I loved everything about them. But our baby girl, Autumn, now she's just a unique bird. Like, some of you in this room know her, and she's just a unique bird. One thing about her when she was little is she talked all the time, like all the time. In my ear, blah, 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 all the time. And I would just think, oh my gosh. And she would tell dreams. Like, she would go into great detail of her dreams. And she was really into Harry Potter. So it was always like a Harry Potter themed dream. Or when she saw the movies, everything was Harry Potter. So I would try really hard to listen to her. I really tried, but there would be maybe a few moments when I'd check out. I'm sure you better moms understand what I'm saying, right? Like, oh, I would just check out, and my mind would be distracted, and I would be thinking things like, huh, I wonder if I'd put the meat out, if I defrosted it for dinner, because I hate when I don't remember to defrost it, and then I'm chiseling it away on the stove, like, as it's cooking. You know, have you ever done that with hamburger? You just, like, flop it in there and hope. And hope that it gets done. So I'm thinking that. Or I'm thinking, you know, she's still, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I got down shirts from the dry cleaners. I wonder if I took them to the dry cleaners. I wonder if I have a slip that I can get the shirts released from the dry cleaner prison. You know, so I have that. So my mind was so distracted everywhere else but on her and the conversation that was happening right there, you know, her and I. I wanted to listen to her, but I really wasn't in the posture to listen to her. I was distracted. I was multitasking while Autumn talked, not giving her my full attention. And I was willing to settle with it. When I get in bed at night, I don't know if you guys do this too, but you get in bed at night and you kind of go through your day. And I was thinking, well, at least I tried. I tried, you know. And unfortunately, I think... in my journey, that's what I was doing with God. I was trying to get myself in the posture to listen, but I was not doing a good job of it. I was distracted, have a million other things going on in my head besides him. And that is why my journey, that's where my journey starts. Like, so I knew that I wanted to change. And like about 4 years ago, we started, some of the women here at Kensington, we got a group together and said, hey, let's take a bunch of women to Israel, and let's go through that with them and experience it, and let's do a women's retreat for them, for the Christians in Palestine. Let's do a, they're forgotten people, they really are. There's a small pocket of Christians in Palestine, and they're getting persecuted by the Muslims, they're getting persecuted by the Jews, and they're just there, and we thought, let's just go and encourage them. So when we went... Of course, now I've told you, like, I've had this hunger. I want to be able to hear God's voice, but I'm not really sure what that's like or what it sounds like. I had this hunger to know. So when we went on the trip, we did the retreat, and it was so awesome. And we thought it would be really cool for the ladies if we had them have an opportunity to stay in the home of a Palestinian woman, someone who'd been on the retreat with us. So when we got back after the retreat, we actually went into the homes. And I got to stay with Pastor Nihad and his wife, Salwa. And I had been observing Salwa while I was there. There was something about her. Like, I was attracted to her, and not in, you know, a weird way or anything. I was attracted to her because she had this light shining in her. There was something about her, her countenance, and she'd smile. And it was like, I think I want what she has, but I don't really know what it is she has. Sorry, I have a cold, so I'm trying really hard. Hold on, everybody, while I take a break. Okay. So she had something about her that I really wanted. And and also I had been searching and had a lot of questions, and it was like I had a captured audience, right, to be able to ask. This is my character. I like to just know everything. I'm really curious about things. And so I started to ask Nihad questions about all kinds of things, and the spiritual world, spiritual life. Everything I could ask, I was. And he was so gracious to answer all of my questions. So we went to bed pretty late, but we got into bed. We're all exhausted. We just got home from that retreat. And so slept beautiful. I got up in the morning, and Salwa has all the table just full with all these wonderful breakfast foods. And I was like, oh, Salwa, thank you so much. This is beautiful. You didn't have to do this. So, oh, I want to. And so we sit down at the table, and we start to eat. And I say to her, did you sleep well? You know, just pleasantries. Like, did you have a good night's rest? And she goes, oh, I didn't sleep. And I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. If I would have known, I have this pill called an Ambien. Yeah. And you could have taken it. And, right, you would have slept like a baby all night long. I'm really sorry. I'll give you one for tonight. Do you want it? And she's like, Sue, no, no, I chose not to sleep. And I'm like, you chose not to sleep? Why? Like, who does that? We all need our sleep. And she goes, no, I wanted to stay up all night praising my God and Father in heaven, for you women, for coming, for all that you've done for me. It was my time to be with my Father, to thank him. And that's why I stayed up, because I chose to and I wanted to. Well, by that time, my jaw was down on the floor, because I had never in my life met a believer, a Christian, who wanted to stay up all night long to pray. And I knew that was it. So I said, Sawa, I want to know your secret. Like, what is it? How can I know? How can I hear God's voice? How can I be a believer, a Christian who loves God just like you do? And she goes, She says, you need to get a book. And I said, a book? Oh, come on, not another book, right? Really, a book? She said, Sue, I'm telling you, it's a book. It's called Praying God's Word by Beth Moore. Do you know her? Do you know Beth Moore? She says to me. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you can live in the United States and not know who Beth Moore is. Yes, she's a Bible study teacher, and yes, I know her. So she said, I want you to get that book, and I want you to start praying God's Word to him. So that is what I did. I went home. I actually got on Amazon and ordered the book, so it'll be waiting for me when I got to the door. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? This what we live in now, the technology, that we can order a book and we can get it there when you come home. So I get the book and I start to read it. It's a beautiful book if you guys want to get it. And it's just divided up into sections to things to pray for. But in that book, the one thing that stood out to me was one verse, and it was Deuteronomy 30:20. And that verse says, Father, I desire to love you, to listen to your voice, and to hold fast to you, for you are my life. And I started to say that prayer over and over, that verse, as a prayer. Father, I love you, I desire to love you, to listen to your voice, and to hold fast to you, for you are my life. And for the first time in my life, I confessed, which I say confession is to tell God the truth. I confessed that verse to him, and I said, Father, I'm going to tell you the truth. I desire to love you, but I don't love you as much as I love my husband and my girls. I desire to hear your voice, but I've never really heard it, and I don't know what that's like, and I doubt that you would even speak to me. And let's see, how does it go? I desire to love you, to hold fast, to hear your voice, and to hold fast to you, for you are my life. So I said to him, you know what, God, you're part of my life, but you're not all of my life. You're not my whole life. And so that verse and being that honest and that real with God is what set me off on my journey. It was that. I feel like he was saying, okay, now we can go. Because now you're being transparent and now you're being real. And I can work with that. So that is how this started, my journey. And so, of course, the very first thing I want to talk to you is, does God speak today? And I love this big sized group, and I know you're going to learn a lot, but I also want you to have the ears to hear it so that you can be thinking, I'm going to share this with my neighbor, with my coworker, with my friend, with my family, with my daughter, with my husband, with my boyfriend, whatever it is, because we are all called to share our stories. And what I'm doing right now is sharing my story with you. And so the first thing I wanted to know is, does God speak? And I think Jeannie did an amazing job getting these worksheets together. And I love how God puts us together with all our gifts. You know, we're all kind of different in our gifts. And this is Jeannie's. It's not mine. So I thank her for this, for doing this. So does God speak today? I'm going to take it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Jeremiah is a prophet. In the Old Testament, some of you may know that, some of you may not. Did you know, though, that prophets were to hear God's voice, hear what he had to be able to listen, be in the posture to listen, and then he went and told the Israelites everything that God told him to say. So Jeremiah is a prophet, and he is going to just blow your mind with what he says here. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, I'm going to read it. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out to Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of these to the greatest, declares the Lord. So in there, he's talking about this covenant, and a covenant is just an agreement that they made. So they had the old covenant. Of course, we know they goofed up on it, right? They just couldn't do what God wanted them to do. So he's saying here, I am proclaiming to you, I am telling you in the future, there's going to be this new covenant. It's going to be so great. And I love verse 33 because it says the new covenant, he's going to put it, the law in our minds and then write it on our hearts. So when I am learning something, this is how I'm wired. Like I told you, I'm asking questions. So I'm reading this text, and I say to God, God, you say there's going to be this new covenant in Jeremiah. How? How? Like, how is this going to happen? So I'm led to Luke 22, verse 20, and that is Jesus. So here in the Old Testament, he's prophesying about something, and all the way over here, now we're in the New Testament, and there's Jesus, Luke 22, 20, and he is having the Last Supper with his disciples, with his guys. And he stands up and he holds up his cup and he says this: this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you. So Jesus is announcing that the new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about is about to happen with him. It was going to be at the cross where his blood was shed and would be poured out for us, for atonement for us to take our place. So Jesus, because of what he did for us on the cross, has given us access to God where we can receive forgiveness. So all of us who are believers are experiencing this new covenant right now. So of course, then I say to God, okay, so how do you provide this new covenant in our hearts and our minds? Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you want me to know about that? Because see, this is what I'm doing. I'm asking him questions. What do you want me to know? He leads me to John 14, 16, and 17. And I read this: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, this is Jesus talking, and he's getting ready to leave. And he says, I'm going to give you another comforter that will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So that is the Holy Spirit. He says, the world cannot accept him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he's in you. So it's like, okay, the new covenant's going to happen. It's going to be in my heart and in my mind, and it's somehow connected with the Holy Spirit. So God, what is the Holy Spirit doing? That's my next question. I'm led to John 16, 12 through 15. This is Jesus again saying, I have so much more to say to you. He's talking to his disciples. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, so we know that's the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me from taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Okay, so of course I'm saying to God, huh, all right, what does that mean? Like, that's a big mouthful, right? That's a big run-on sentence. So I ask him, what is the Holy Spirit? What are you doing? Number one, there's three things that the Holy Spirit is doing, and he's doing in us and for us. Number one, he's guiding us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that has put that hunger and that desire in you to want to know Jesus and live for Jesus. It's him. It's not us. It's not anything that we can do. It's what he's doing. So his Holy Spirit is guiding us to truth. So he's guiding us to Jesus, and he's continually guiding us into truth. Every single day, every single time we come to him, he has truth ready for us to hear. So it's okay. Okay, cool. He guides us to Jesus. Number two, he listens to the Father and Son communicate. Whoa, think about that. Jesus is our mediator. He's up there with his Father, on the right hand of his Father. And he says, this is what Jesus said to them: the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He The Holy Spirit, you guys, this is so cool. The Holy Spirit is up there listening to what the Father and Son are talking about. He gets to eavesdrop in heaven. He's listening to their conversation. Like, wow, that's so cool. And when he listens to them, do you know what he's saying? Do you know what they're talking about? They're talking about you. Psalms 139, 17 and 18 says this: how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. His thoughts about each and every one of you is so much so, more than the grains of sand. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot that he's thinking about you. So he's listening to their conversation as they're talking about you. And the third thing the Holy Spirit does is he tells us what he hears them talking about. So does God speak today? Yes, he does. He does. The Holy Spirit is hearing. He's coming down. We already know he's in us. He's with us. And he's got stuff he wants to tell us. So I say to God, okay, so the Holy Spirit's doing all that. That's so cool. So why does the Father want to hear our voice, want us to hear his voice? Like, what's the purpose of hearing? And it says in that verse 14, he will bring glory to me from taking what is mine and making it known to you, because it brings glory to God. When we take the time to listen to what he has to say, we bring glory to God. And it just makes him so happy. He delights in the fact that we're willing to listen. So what's my part, I ask God. The next question, what's my part? I'm led to Jeremiah 33:3, and maybe some of you know it, but for me, it was like a new, I had never even noticed it was in there. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Call to me, and I will answer. So we have to call God, and he will answer. And he will tell us things, unsearchable things we do not know. And that excites me. Like, what is it that he has to tell me that he's been waiting for me to call to ask? And I wanted to know that. So I'm like, okay, God, I call. Hello. Hello. I'm here. You know? And I reminded of the story of little Samuel in the Bible, when his mom Hannah brings him to the priest to live, and he starts to hear things. You know, he's hearing someone call him, and he runs to Eli, and he's like, somebody's saying, what do you want, master? I hear you calling. And Eli said, no, go back and lay down and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So that's our part. You know, we have free will. We have the choice to decide how close to God we're going to be. He gives us free will. We have the choice to choose. And so he's given us free will, even in this. Will you call, and will you call him and say, here I am, Lord, speaking. I want to listen. So that led me to believe that this is active. This is real. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for me. So I have to get myself in the posture to listen. Just like I needed to be in the posture to listen to my daughter Autumn speak, well, I should have. We have the privilege and honor to get ourselves in the posture to listen, to hear what God has to say. But we have to learn to recognize his voice, don't we? Like Emily said, there's so many voices going on around us that we listen to, that it's hard to recognize his voice and when he's talking. I think of this one, like, let's think about, like, when the phone, before iPhones, when we had, or before caller ID. Do you guys remember those kind of phones? Like, that were plugged into the wall? And we, or maybe yours was like the base was plugged into the wall and you could walk around the house with the receiver, you know? Well, when that phone would ring and you didn't know who was going to be on the other end, I bet when you picked it up, if it was a loved one, you recognized his voice, didn't you? Or her voice. I bet if we even thought about it, we could think about how many voices we could recognize when we just by saying hello. So we have to learn to recognize our Father's voice. And so that led me into discovering four keys to hearing God's voice. And I'm going to talk to you now about those four keys and how it changed everything for me. I mean, absolutely everything for me in my time with my father. So while you're turning, I'm going to take another drink. Okay. So, four keys to hearing God's voice. And this is two little verses in Habakkuk. Now, I know all of you just love the book Habakkuk, right? You know where it is in the Bible, I'm sure. Like, if I could do, like, when I was a little girl, we did sword drills. Like, we had, at the church I went to, we had to hold our Bibles up, and they would say the scripture and the reference, and then we would have to go, you know, and then we'd stand, and whoever said it first, you know, could get a piece of candy or something, you know. So I just, Habakkuk, though, I never would have won. So, and who knew that there is something so profound in the book of Habakkuk? But there is. So Habakkuk is another prophet. So he also listened to what God had to say, and then he told the people about it. So in Habakkuk 1, he goes on and on and on complaining to God. He's like, have you seen the injustice down here? Do you see all the stuff that's going on? Do you see it? Do you care? Are you going to tell me what it is that you want me to say to them? Because, you know, I want to know. Hello. So in Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 2, just two verses, this is what it says. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Four keys to hearing God's voice and those two verses. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the first one. First one, be still. Quiet yourself in the Lord's presence. The version that you have on your paper is the Amplified version, and it says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower. So if you can imagine that he climbed way up into this tower to get himself ready to hear God speak to him. He climbed up, you know, like up above all the noise. He went up, up, up. I never have had the privilege, but my kids have been in a hot air balloon ride. Has anybody been in one of those in this room? Okay, so like my girl said, you'll have to tell me if it's true, that when you're up there, like it's quiet, like it's still. Like, it's just, you might hear the of the balloon, right? But it's quiet and still. So that is what I picture Habakkuk up, way up high in his watchtower, is where he chose to go to be still so that he could be silent to hear what God has to say to him. So that got me to think, I need to get myself somewhere quiet, I guess. You know, like, I need to get myself somewhere where I can put all the distractions away. And so I made my room, one of my rooms, I call it my room, that's really not good to say because I am married and I do have a room with my husband. But I have another room, which I call my secret place. And I call it my secret place because I read another book, and that book is called Secrets of the Secret Place, and it's by Bob Sorge, and that book, like, transformed my time with God because it has 52 chapters, and each chapter, they're just little, like two pages, with wonderful ideas. I'm all about application. Like, how's this work, and how am I going to do this? And so that book, like, just gave me all kinds of really cool ideas. So I go to my secret place. Of course, Don, my husband, also says, it's not so secret if we all know where it is. But I'm like, I don't care. It's my secret place, and I'm sticking with it. It's my secret place. So I go in my secret place. I go in there every single morning. Every single morning. So you guys need to get a secret place of your own. And I'm just, whatever it looks like for you. I don't want you copying me, because we don't want to copy, because God has made us all uniquely different. So whatever works for you, that's what you do. Go somewhere. It could be just outside walking, or I don't know, in your car, wherever you got to go, you know, to just get that place where you can be quiet and be alone with God. Now, when I go into my room, what I do very first thing, now this is for real, and I really mean it, I'm being serious right now, I silence all the other voices that are going on around me, starting with my own self, like, be silent, be quiet. I silence the world around me, and I especially silence the enemy. I'm talking about Satan. I am talking about the deceiver, the father of lies. I am telling him to be quiet in Jesus' name. That's all I'm doing. Just, it doesn't have to take a long time. You know, you don't have to be up there like, oh, whatever. It's just be quiet. Be quiet in Jesus' name. I don't want to hear you. I don't want you in my mind. And I'm just going to be alone with my Father now. I ask God to give me focus and clarity. Focus and clarity. And how I do that is by clearing my mind of distractions. So many distractions inside us and outside us. So how do I do that? That means, you know, for some of you who love your TV on 24/7, you turn the TV off. You might think even praise music could be, you know, get you all in the mood or whatever, but you just need to turn it off. Be silent. And that's hard for us to do. It's hard enough when we have a family and kids and everything, but we need to do it. Be silent on the inside so we can be not distracted on the inside. But also, when we sit down, so we've got like the TV off, we've got the radio off, we're sitting in our secret place, you know, we're pretty excited. Well, then all of a sudden our mind starts thinking about what? The grocery list. Did I get groceries? Here I go. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only forgetful one around here, but I start to think about the groceries list. I'm starting to think like, oh, did I do this? Did I do that? So what I have come up with is if it's something that would just take a second, like if I sit down and all of a sudden I had this thought, oh, I was supposed to email Ann. Oh, my goodness, and I forgot to email her. So I'll just do it right there on my phone. If it's a quick thing, I do it and take care of it so that I can concentrate and be still and not have all the distractions. If it's a big thing, I have a piece of paper by me and I write it down, jot it down, push it aside, ask God, like, help me not to think of it for the next whatever time I'm in here with you. So you just put it aside. So that's a practical thing we can do. There's two verses that I just start to, in my mind, say over and over. Psalm 62:5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. I want that. But more than my body wants that, my spirit wants that. Do you all know we have our spirit in us, and it wants so desperately to connect with the Holy Spirit. So we have to find rest, O my soul. So it's like I'm quieting myself down. I'm getting my spirit ready to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to tell me. Of course, all of us know Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. So number one, I am making myself be still. Be still. The second key to hearing God's voice is to be looking. Look with pictures while you pray. I think it's a little bit different than what I have down on that sheet, but look with pictures while you pray. Habakkuk 2:1 says, and I will look to see what he will say to me. I will look. I will look. So I'm asking God, when I was just enthralled with these two verses, what do you mean, look? Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Okay, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. So you know what I do? I literally fix my eyes on Jesus. I make a picture in my head of Jesus. And I picture him. I have two chairs in my secret place. And I'm sitting in one, and Jesus is in the other. And when I'm having conversation with him, whether I'm reading the passages in the Bible and I'm saying, God, what do you want me to know? Or Jesus, what do you want me to know? I'm looking at Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, what do you want me to know? You know, and it isn't weird. But believe me, it's not weird. It might sound like it's weird. It's not weird because he's right there. And you know, if God gave you your imagination, use it for something good. You know, instead of daydreaming or whatever, use your imagination for what he created it to be. And so I picture him there, and we have wonderful conversations. But you know what? Sometimes I'm at his feet. He's in his chair, and I'm at his feet. And I'm crying at his feet. And I'm saying to him, like, God, are you with me in this circumstance? Do you see, Jesus, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And I'm listening to hear what he's going to say to me. I'm getting myself in the position and the posture to listen by imagining that Jesus is there with me. Now, another thing I do, because I think that we get in the rut of thinking we have to do the same thing every day, especially for all of you in Insights, you've got your homework to do, right? You got to sit down, do your homework. You got to check it off because, you know, you got your leaders going to call you out if you don't, maybe. I don't know. So you guys are always constantly, like, in the Word, doing your homework, getting it done. Sometimes I don't even open my Bible when I go in my secret place, because I am envisioning God and his throne. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind and keep focused on things above, not on things below. So I will picture God on his throne. Do you guys, you know, there's verses in the Bible that talk, there's a few of them, I'm drawing a blank, maybe Isaiah, Revelation. It talks about God on his throne. And so I will stand at my window like this. Now, I am sure that my neighbors across the street are like freaked out, like, what is Stewie Anderson doing? Because I will be like this, like, God, I see you up on the throne. I see you, your robe, it touches the earth. It touches the earth because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And Jesus, thank you. Thank you that I have access to God the Father because of what you did for me on the cross. And I say thank you. And I might just praise him the whole entire time at the window, praising him. But you know what? I'll sing songs. Now, I don't have a very good voice. I wish I was given that gift, but I haven't been given that gift. But when it's just me and God, he doesn't care. He thinks that I'm pretty awesome. So I am singing praise songs to my Father in heaven. And another thing, like, God has really been teaching me a lot about praise. Like, what is it? What does it mean? He's actually told me, you know, honey, we're going to work on this. So, honest, no lie. So, anyways, but praise. So, sometimes I'll just stand around in my room walking around like this, and I'm trying to memorize. And I will say to him, God, you are the Almighty God. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the author and finisher of my faith. You are beloved. You are beautiful. You are my comforter, my counselor. You're my deliverer, my defender. You're my everlasting Father. You're faithful. You're so faithful. You're good. You're generous. And that is all I do in my secret place for that day. I am just giving him, I am acknowledging him and his character and who he is. It transforms everything, but I am looking to see. I am looking, I am picturing Jesus, I am picturing God, and I'm telling you what, if that doesn't get you ready to hear what he has to say, nothing will. So be still, be looking. The third key is be listening. So here we go, you guys. This is it. This is what you came for. Key number three, be listening. So be listening. So let's see, Habakkuk 2:1, and I will look to see what he will say to me. The Amplified says, and what answer I am to give. So now we know Habakkuk is ready. He is waiting. And I will say to you that God's voice often comes as the free flow. Don't say that too fast because I faithful. Free flow of thoughts that come to your mind when you are fixed on Jesus. The free flow of thoughts that come to your mind. I'm here to tell you that God speaks through our thoughts. Now, it's not the only way he speaks. And when I started my journey, I wanted the audible voice. I thought, like, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Now, I would think, now, if I do hear you, I might freak out. Like, so be okay with that. Because I don't know, do I really want you to speak to me? Because, you know, is it going to be really loud? Like, I don't know. I just freaked out about that. But God taught me how he speaks through our thoughts. I'm going to tell you that God's voice is probably so familiar to you, but you've always thought it was your own voice. Very familiar to you, but you probably thought it was your own. And I'm going to show you how it's possible. In John 7:38-39, this is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit. So we already know we've got the Spirit in us, right? He's with us, he's in us. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus says, is like a stream of living water, streams of living water that will flow from within us. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16 also says this. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. So our spirit knows our thoughts. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We understand because we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So we've got this like flow going on, and we're tuning into the flow, and it's coming up and it's coming up into our thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. So our thoughts could be Christ's thoughts, or Christ's thoughts could be our thoughts. Yes, that's it. To know the mind of Christ is to know his thoughts. We tune into the flow of the living water, the Holy Spirit, and we can hear his thoughts and our thoughts. We can hear his thoughts and our thoughts. Like I said, I always thought it had to be this audible voice, not realizing that he has always been speaking to me, and I just didn't know it. So do you guys ever get the thought to do something nice to someone or kind to someone? You know, maybe sporadically we might have that. And we're like, ooh, that was cool. That was a really good thing I did. I'm here to tell you that thought was the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you just happened to catch it. You just happened to catch it. And now you're taking the credit for it. So all those good thoughts from him. So how do I get myself to start recognizing that voice that's in my thoughts that are his and not my own? I say another prayer. So you see, there's this thing that we do over and over. We're praying and we're asking him, whether it's I desire to love you, listen to your voice, hold fast to you. Because that's where I was at that time in my journey with Jesus. And now this one, Father, I bind my mind to the mind of Jesus so that I can hear your thoughts in my thoughts. Father, I bind my mind to the mind of Jesus so I can hear my thoughts in your thoughts. When I ask God questions, I'm tuned into him now because I've got myself away. I'm somewhere quiet. I'm being still. I'm focused on him. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. And then I finally get to ask him questions. And I am ready to listen. So when you ask him, and this is my mantra, and you heard Emily say it, God, what do you want me to know about that? When I say that, the first thought that pops into your head after you ask him that question, it's him. I'm telling you, it's him. But what happens is we reason it away and we say, that's not him. That's not him. And you doubt it. And then the enemy wins. So I'm asking you guys, when you try this, you be ready and you listen. The first thought that pops into your mind, that's him. This is how we know it's him. His words will encourage us. It will be encouraging. It will build us up. Do you know that even when he convicts me of something that I'm doing, he's so lovingly kind about it. All my life, I thought God was disappointed in me and out to get me. And he's like, you should not do that. But you know who that was? That's the enemy. Because he is going to talk to you with condemnation. He's going to accuse you. And that is him, and that is how he speaks. But our Heavenly Father, who loves you so much, who wants you to understand who he is, who wants to have conversation with you, he is going to talk to you in gentleness and kindness. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. All of those. That's his spirit. That's who he is. That is his character. And that is how he will speak to you. Now, the fun part. He speaks to us any way he wants to speak to us, he's God, because he can do whatever he wants. So for me, I've had a lot of Bible background. Like I told you, we had the sword drill where I held up the sword. The God's word is a sword. I don't know if you know that, but it's a sword. And so when we were having those sword drills, I actually was able to memorize quite a few verses. So I could never memorize like where it was found, but I could say the memory verse. So when I'm asking God a question or I'm talking to him about something and I say, what do you want me to know? And I'm tuning in and I'm listening. A lot of times the first thing that pops in is a memory verse. But it's never the full memory verse. I'm like, come on, God, like if you're going to tell me, like, but you know what I do? You guys ever heard of it? BibleGateway.com. Have you heard of that? It's an amazing tool because what you do is you open it up and you type in the three words you do know and you hit search and then it pops up and then, whoop, you're looking good. You got the whole verse, right? So then I can take the verse and then I can say, okay, God, I read the verse. Now what do you want me to know? Like, how does this apply to me? Because like I told you, application is everything to me. I want to know. So the first thought that pops into my head, I go with it, unless it's condemning and calling me names or whatever, you know? So that's the first way he can talk. He can also talk to us with images, visual pictures. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but a lot of times before when I was asking him and I would say, you know, something like, what do you want me to know about that? And this picture of a tree would come up and in my mind just pop in my head. And I would think, oh, no, why am I thinking about trees? Like I'm waiting for God to answer me. Like, what's he going to say? And I've got this tree here. Now I know if a tree pops into my head, what am I asking? What do you want me to know about it? God, what do you want me to know about the tree? And then I listen, and the next thought that pops into my head, off we go about the tree. He also speaks to us through song. And maybe many of you have experienced this, but I wonder if you experienced it like this. So you guys are probably thinking that I'm talking Christian songs, right? Because that's the only way God can speak through like the hymns or praise songs or whatever. No. The other day, I was in with him, looking at him in the chair, talking to him, but I was really sad. My oldest daughter is, her and her husband are foster parents. And so I was coming to him and wanting to talk to him about little Kenny and Stephanie and being fearful of them going back into an unsafe home and the biological parents. And so it's one thing, you know, as moms, we want to control everything, right? We do. And so I go into the room and I'm talking to him about Kenny and Stephanie and I'm like asking him, God, what do we need? You know, what do you want me to know, Jesus? Like, what do you want me to know about it? Like, I'm just really struggling here and what do you want me to know? And I'm quiet and all of a sudden this song pops into my head. And now I'm not a good singer. I already told you that, but I'm going to sing. The song goes, put one foot in front of the other. You ever? And soon you'll be walking across the floor. You know that song? I'm like, what? Like, put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. I'm like, God, what do you want me to know about that? Like, really? And the thought comes, Google it. Okay, now you know my phone is always with me in my quiet place because that's it. So I Google it, one foot in front of the other song. And so what comes up is YouTube. And it is the story of Santa Claus is coming to town. Like the bad one. Like when Santa Claus is like a teenager. Do you guys remember this? Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, ugh. So I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to watch it, but God's going to talk to me through it, so I better listen. So I hit play, and I'm telling you what, it's the story of the Winter Warlock. And he's like a frozen miser or whatever he is, and he's hunched over, and he's like all white because he's frozen, he's got a cane. And the words in the song are playing, and he's saying, I want to be reborn. I want to be reborn, and he doesn't know how. And Santa Claus comes up next to him, and he puts his arm around him, and he's like, we'll put one foot in front of the other, you know, and it's the two of them, and it's the song, and they're going, and they're walking. And I'm like, oh, you know how you know that you know? Like in my heart, I'm like, oh, I'm the winter warlock, aren't I? Oh, I don't want to be the winter warlock. And I'm the winter warlock, and I'm frozen in fear. And I'm frozen and not trusting. And I'm stuck, and I don't want to give it up because then something might happen. Like Stephanie and Kenny might not be ours anymore. And I want them to be ours, and I want them to be theirs for my children. And I'm frozen. And I hear this song, and I'm like, what do you want me to know? I want you to imagine that I'm Santa Claus, Jesus says. And I am putting my arm around you, and we are walking together one step at a time. That's what trust is, Sue. This is the thoughts that I'm having in my head. This is what trust is, Sue. One step at a time. And when you take that step, I'm going to pour out a measure of faith. And then you're going to have the faith to pick up and take another step. Because I am by your side, and we're going to do it together. And if I tell you how it ends, then you don't have to trust me, because it's all figured out. So this journey, we're going to do it together, one step at a time. And he spoke to me through the song from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Isn't that amazing? See, if I would have just tuned it out as nothing, I would have missed it. I would have missed the beautiful truth that he has for me. So that's how he can speak through song. He can also speak just like he's your friend, right? Just with words. And I told you that, right? Like we're in the chair and we're talking. He did that with me this morning because honestly, like I was kind of nervous about coming, you know? Like 300 women, what? So I'm sitting in my chair talking to him about it. Do you know what he said to me? Just conversation. I'm like, God, what do you want me to know about this? Like, I'm not nervous, I'm excited, but still, 300 women, and clear as day, I hear this thought, you're only speaking to one, and it's me. And I want you to remember that, honey. He says honey to me all the time, isn't that sweet? He's got an endearing word for you, too. He does. And when you tune in, you're going to find out what it is. And if you come back when we do the second session of this, we're going to talk about our identity and the name that he has for each and every one of us. So that's a plug for next time. I think that is May 31st. So make sure you get that written down somewhere. So he speaks to us through words, just in conversation. Sometimes when I go in my secret place and I'm not getting a song, I'm not getting a word, I'm not getting a picture, and we're sitting there in silence, I'm here to tell you that sometimes God speaks through our senses. And one of those that he speaks through is the feeling that comes over us, and I'm talking about peace. We just feel it. We just know it. It's there. Because remember, we're getting ourselves in the posture to listen. He doesn't always have to speak if he doesn't want to. There could be times when there's silence, and it's okay. We have to be okay with the silence. We're women. We want everything right away, right? Right away. And I'm here to tell you that you are always going to be waiting for something. When that one thing that you've been waiting for finally happens, there's going to be something else. And when you're in your secret place with your Father and you are waiting for him to tell you something, if there is silence, do not be discouraged. Notice how you feel, you know, because you're already fixed, you're still, and you're already looking, you're fixed on him, be looking. So if you're ready to listen and it's just stillness and quiet, he's just saying, no, do you sense my peace? Just be still. Just listen. It's okay. He might just think you need a little time just to be still and not have anybody talking. Just sit there with your own self. So he can talk through senses, or our senses. He might bring to your mind, when you're asking him a question, a conversation that you might have had with your good friend the day before. And it could be all of a sudden in your mind, you're thinking, oh, yeah, you know, Kelly did tell me that. Maybe that was God trying to speak. So if that happens, he can speak to us. Dave Wilson always says through the pews, people, events, what, word and spirit. So those are just a few of the ways that God has spoken to me. And that is not a limited thing. He can speak any way he wants, right? Remember, he's God. So our goal is to always put ourselves in the posture of listening so that when he does speak, we're ready to hear. I'm going to tell you something. It takes faith. It takes faith to listen to God, to believe it is him, and then to walk in the truth. It takes absolutely no faith to believe the lies of the enemy. We are really good at that because we've been doing it for a long time. So it takes faith to listen to God, to believe it's him, and to walk in the truth. So that is be listening. Are you excited? Did you learn something? I hope so. I hope you did. So the fourth key, the fourth thing, be still, be looking, be listening. The fourth one, be journaling. And don't all moan at me at once. I know what it's like, but be journaling. And I hope that by the end, you will be convinced that it's a good thing to be journaling. Habakkuk 2:2, he says, write the vision and engrave it plainly on tablets. The Lord says, I'm going to give you the revelation. I want you to get ready. I want you to write it on tablets. Are you ready? Here it comes. I'm going to speak to you. Do you got your tablet ready? Are you ready? Do you got your tablet? So what's the modern day version of a tablet for us? Journal. A tablet. Exactly. Somebody got my joke before I could even say it. Because there's tablets now, right? And there's iPads and all that stuff. But I'm an old-fashioned girl, and I like my journal. And I like to write in my journal. The thing is, you need to write down what you hear him saying. So you're tuning into the flow of the stream of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We hear God, we hear him in our thoughts. And we ask him a question, and he's so gracious and kind to answer our question. And we write it down. We write it down. And why do we write it down? Because if we don't, what are we going to do? Forget. Yep, we're going to forget it. We're going to reason it away. We're going to start to think it wasn't God. It was just in my thoughts. We're going to reason it away. We're going to wonder if it's him at all. So I'm telling you, ladies, write in childlike faith until the flow stops. Just keep going. Just keep writing. Don't start to analyze it. Just don't. Just write and write and write until you can't think of anything else. There's nothing else in there. You're empty. You're on empty. You're done. You write it in faith, not doubting. Do you know something I just discovered? I've been studying Eve, Adam and Eve, because I'm getting ready to talk at Smash. I hope you're all coming to Smash. Yeah. And I'm getting ready to talk at Smash, and I'm talking about Eve. And I realized something for the very first time that I never knew, that Satan's scheme, right from the very beginning with Eve, when he has a conversation with her, he says this, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And guess what? His tactics have not changed. It's the same today as it was all those years ago. Satan is still saying to you, did God really say that? We don't want to let him win. We're saying, get out of here. In Jesus' name, you are not welcome. Yes, he did say that. And yes, I am writing it down. I am writing it down. After you're done writing, okay? So after I'm done writing, and by the way, my journal is a two-way conversation. Him, well, no, me, him. Because I'm always asking him the question first. Me, him, me, him, me, him. Previously, when I tried to do journals in the past, and I've looked back, I'm one of those people, I keep them. Some days I can get lost in a whole day reading my journals. And so recently I did that, and I was reading my journal, and I was like, oh, like everything. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, be with my daughter at school because a girl is not nice to her. You know, like over and over and over. And now, when I look at my journals, one of the reasons you write in is it because you know what? The truth is, you're going to have a bad day. You're going to have a sucky day. Just telling you, you're going to. And so what you're going to do, because you have it written in your journal, is you're going to go into your secret place, and that day, you might just read your journals the whole time. And you're going to see God's faithfulness to you. And you're going to believe that he did it then, and he can do it now. Right? So we write it down so that we don't forget, but also we write it down so we remember. We remember. Because we want to know that he's faithful to us today like he was to us a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. And then the last part of it, he says, write it down on tablets so that a herald can run with it. You know, because then like he was going to run with the news and tell all the people what God had said. Well, guess who the heralds are now today? It's you. It's you. So you're writing it down so you don't forget, so you remember, but it's not just for yourself. Like when I did this stuff, I thought it was just for myself. And now look, here I am talking to 300 women about how they can hear God's voice. God is amazing. God is so good. And I am so happy that I am here, but you have a responsibility too. You are the herald and you are to run with it. And I mean run with it. The stuff that I've just taught you now, I want you to practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Get yourself in the posture to listen. Listen to what he has to say. Those thoughts that come, write it down. And then practice it. I want you to be a herald. It's not just for Habakkuk. It was not just for him. And it's not just for us. We learn when he speaks. We're learning. And then we share what we learn with others. So when you leave this place, I would challenge you that once you're starting to hear him speak, even before, like on your way home, call someone and say, you're not going to believe what I heard, right? Like we can hear God's voice today. It's real. It's true. And tell them. And then as God starts to pour into you truth about what he's doing, like Emily called me the igniter. Well, God first called me igniter, and I'm like, oh, I'm an igniter. Oh, man, wow. But you know what? I started to freak out about it, but I had this picture. I asked Jesus. Now you know. I asked Jesus about it. And the picture he gave me is Jesus on the ground like this. And there's a little fire there, and he's blowing the flame, and the flame is rising up, and he's saying, Sue, I am your igniter. You're an igniter because I'm an igniter. And together, we're going to go out and we're going to teach women how to hear my voice and be set free. And then they're going to be in their wholeness, who I created them to be. And they're going to run with it. They're going to be a herald and they're going to go. And more women, more children, more people are going to be set free. Yes, set free. And I thank him for it because he's given me a purpose and a plan for my life to ignite, whether it's one person I'm talking to or 300 people that I'm talking to. So with that being said, I have a little practice I want you to do with me, if you would be so kind as to let me. So on that page, it's a journaling practice, what Janie called it, a journaling practice. And I want you to use your four keys that I just taught you, like to be still, be looking, be listening, be journaling. So I know it's hard because we're in tight with a lot of people, but I love it if you could just let yourself go there. And I want for the first part for you to write, I think it says a paragraph, but it doesn't have to be a paragraph. Just write a few words to God, telling him how much you love him, what he's done for you, whatever it is, just let yourself go there and just write some things. God, I love you because. And do that for a few minutes. And then I want you to tune in to the flow of the living water up into your thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. And I want you to ask him, God, why do you love me? Why do you love me? And listen. Listen, he has so much he wants to tell you. He's been dying, and now we know we need to call. We say, God, I'm here. I'm calling. What do you want to tell me about how much you love me? What do you want me to know? I want you to write down what he says. And I want you to write in first person as if he is talking to you. Okay? For some people, that's hard to do, but I want you to try it. So I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. That's okay? To just go ahead and write. So go ahead. Okay, how are we doing? You guys need more time? You good? Just to get you started, to see what it's like. I wonder if anyone in this room would be brave enough to tell us what God said to him. Anybody want to share? Yeah, thank you. Why don't you stand up? Oh, and look at Patty, even has a microphone. I didn't even tell her we were going to do this. Thank you, Patty.
Okay. In first person, May Alamari, I love you and I want the best for you. Mm-hmm. You hear other spirits because you are a savior for them. They will and do look onto you as God's holy work and God's holy expression. If my fear subsides you, do what you just did. And it will ignite the entire audience, even when you are not speaking. Your story is my story, your word is my word, and your life is my life forever and ever. And yes, and amen. The pastors hear you because I make them hear you. You do not have to be silent or an anonymous person anymore because I love you, and that is all that matters to me. And yes, my name is blank, everyone that loves me.
That's awesome.
And then, I love you because you are my obedient child who listens, who does, who rests, and who teaches when I ask you to teach. The pastors believe me, do not like it, and I do. This is my obedience to honor you, your life, your holy morality. I was sexually abused.
Okay.
Your sexual being and the woman you are today.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Let's all clap for her. That's awesome. So much wrapped up in there, so much. But you hear he loves her, he has a name for her, and he has a job for her and a purpose for her. And you need to believe that, and believe that's him, and believe that he does have that plan for you. Anyone else want to share something that they heard? Doesn't have to be long. I'm just talking like a snippet. So, yeah, hi, Mrs. Jopie.
What he said to me, because you are perfect, you make me proud, you care like I care, you are asking me now, you are open to changing, maybe slowly but sure, you come like that, with like a little child, beautiful and believing, I have and I will set a crown on you, your head.
Oh my gosh, wasn't that beautiful? Yay, God, so beautiful. Anyone else? Yeah, okay, I don't know if Patty can get there.
He said to me, I love you because you are constant. I mean, I told God I love him because you are constant and true. I need you to guide my steps. I want to be the person you created me to be.
Aww.
And what I heard back was, I love you because you keep coming back to me. You're determined. I am your constant. I will never leave you. I will be at your side and teach you and guide you through your last stages of life. You will then see yourself as I see you and created you. We will be journeying together. I have works in store for you. I will use your heart and soul, and others will see me.
Oh, thank you for sharing. Beautiful. Do you guys see how intimate it is? All three of the ladies that have shared, like, it's intimate. It's tender. It's just you and him, right? So you want to journal that so that you have that to just remember. Right? One more? Do we have one more? Yeah, okay. Patty's coming.
Okay. Phyllis, I love you because you are mine into all eternity. My flower, my lovely flower with the sweet aroma. Mm. I have called you and you are mine, mine into all eternity. I sing over you, I adore you. Trust me, my child. Mm-hmm. I have you in the palm of my hand. Mm. I will never leave you or forsake you, for you are mine. I love you I love you when you blossom where I plant you. Mm. It's not a coincidence I place you in the places for you to give me honor and glory. Mm. I love when you love me, when you talk to me, when you spend time with me. Mm-hmm. I am here with you always, my child.
Wow. Do you see the floodgates were open?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, that's amazing, isn't it? How do you feel right now about that?
I feel great. Yeah. I couldn't stop writing.
Flowing, right? Tune into the flow. That's my thing. That is awesome. And that, you guys, is what it is to be in a two-way conversation with your father who loves you so much. And those are the four keys that I learned. But I want to end with one last thing. So I was reading the Bible, and because now you know, I didn't know I knew this, but I guess I do kind of like the prophets because I kind of hung out there like lately and all this stuff I've been learning. But I was reading Isaiah 55, New Living Translation. I think I put on there, like I use all kinds of translations. And I don't know if you guys use YouVersion on your phone. I'm going to do a little plug for them because what I love about YouVersion is if you like this verse and you hit it like that, there's a little thing down here that says compare. You press compare and the verse comes up in all the different versions. It is so cool. I tell you, you guys, it's just so fun because then you get to see what it means maybe in another version. You can really look at that verse. So I was reading along in Isaiah 55, and as I was reading this, I was like, wow. So I'm just going to read it to you, and I just want you to put on your ears and listen to it and see if you can find. I have five promises that God told me if I would seek him to hear his voice that he would give me. So here we are. I'm starting in verse 3. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing food for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Once there was thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will spread out. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. Did you guys hear stuff in there? Like what have we been talking about all night? I was like, oh, God, thank you. Here again. Thank you for those promises for me. And he says, no, Sue, for anyone who seeks my voice, anyone who searches for me and finds me, anyone can have these promises. So these are the five promises. He says in verse 3, let me get there. Verse 3, you will find life. Now I've asked God, what do you want me to know about that? He's like, I'm talking abundant life. You know, the life that John 10:10, where Jesus says on this life, you know, we'll have an abundant life. That's the kind of life. Number one promise, you'll have an abundant life. Abundant life. Promise number 2, he says, I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. I'm sure some of you in Insights have studied David, right? Who is David? He was a man after God's own heart. God is saying to us, you guys, he's saying, the same heart I gave to David, I'm going to give it to you too. It's a promise. The same heart that he has, you're going to get a never-ending, overflowing supply of God's love in us, pouring out to everyone, if we will take the time to seek his voice. So I'm like, I'm going to have life. I'm going to have this love in me for others around me like David did. Third promise from verse 5. He says this, you also will command nations you do not know. Wow, God, what do you want me to know about that? Command nations you do not know? And the thought came, you know, that power and authority that David has as the king. You know, he had that power and authority. Guess what? As daughters of the king, we have that same power and authority on earth. Are we living it? Are we believing it? It's there for us to take. Because you know why? Because Jesus says, John 14:10, I'm going to leave you. And when I leave you, you're going to be able to do greater things than I did. What? It's a promise. If we will seek him, if we will listen and seek and hear his voice, he's promised us that we will have the power to command nations with authority and power. We got to figure out how to get rid of the fear that keeps us from living and living how God intended us to live. And we're going to learn how to do that on the third session. Going to learn how to get rid of those lies and the fears and all the stuff that we believe that keeps us from being who God has called us to be. Number 4 in verse 5, it says this, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Do you know what this means? This means that when you're going as a herald and you're running out and you're telling people all the stuff that God's doing in your story, you're telling your story to them, they're going to come running to obey God. It's a revival that's going to happen. A revival is happening. It's his promise that if we will seek him and we will do our four keys and we'll listen to what he has to say, we're going to have a revival. And it's going to start here with us women. I love it. I love it. It gets me so excited, guys. So why did he give us these promises? Listen to this. He says, where is it? So excited. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. He's made us glorious. We know that he's glorious, but he's saying that it'll make us glorious. Do you know that we are made in the image of God? And it's like God is standing in the mirror looking at us, and you know he's just glory, right? So his glory is coming out and is pouring it right into us. Whew, the light's so bright because we're glorious because he's the one that makes us glorious. And that is a promise that he has for us. And that is why he does it. But guess what? Remember how I told you Jeremiah 33:3, there's always something we have to do? There's something we have to do here too. There's 3 things we have to do. We have to seek him continuously, which we already are, right? Because now we're doing our 2-way conversation journals. We're having a great time with our Father. The second thing, we're going to call him. Practice. He says, seek the Lord while you can. He can be found. Call on him now while he is near. So we're calling him again. Here I am, God. Here I am. The third thing we have to do is confess. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Of course, I want to read this and say, ooh, I'm not wicked. It's not me. It's, you know, those bad people on TV. They're the wicked ones, right? But no, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have that bent in us that wants to do things our own way and not his way. So we confess. We tell God the truth. I don't believe you will speak to me, or whatever other characteristic of God you are not trusting. Like, I am telling you the truth. I don't believe. I don't trust. I don't believe you're enough. We confess. And if you don't know what you need to confess, what do? You ask him, God, what do you want me to know about that? You're saying here that I need to confess. What do I need to confess? Because I think I'm perfect, right? We all say, yeah, I know. We know we're not. So we confess. We tell God the truth. And I want to just say, too, because when we confess, we're telling God the truth. When we repent, we're changing the way we think about everything. Like, we're changing, we're turning, we're repenting. And we're repenting of our thoughts. And he says, banish the very thought of doing wrong. So we want to change the way we think about everything. We want to banish the very thought of doing wrong. So it's like I repent. I want a change of that. I want to change the way I think, God. So I'm repenting of the way I think. That's what repenting is. So those are the three things. Well, really four, because I lump confession and repent together. So, but I'm telling you, the promises are still awesome. And it's worth it to do the work, right? It's worth it to seek him, to call him, and to confess and get rid of all the yuck in our lives so that we can clearly hear. The fifth promise, all the way down at the end, verse 12, says, you will live in joy and peace. Now, I'm telling you, this is great news, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to experience trials and circumstances, like, might not always go your way. It just means that when we're tuned into him and we're listening and we're learning how to respond like him, so we're learning to respond like God, and not reacting like the world and stress and worry. So the promise is, while we're going through all the storms, we're going to have joy and peace. We're going to have his joy and his peace, and that's going to get us through the circumstances. And that's it, guys. That's the five promises that you're going to get if you will go home and you will try this, that you will find your secret place. You will be still. You'll be looking. You'll be picturing Jesus or God. You'll be listening to however he wants to speak to you, and you'll be journaling it, and then you're going to be running with it, okay? Right? Are you excited? Are you united? All right, good. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much. Jeannie's going to come up before we end. Let me just pray with you, okay? I want to do that for you. God, I thank you for each woman in this room. You love them. You know them. You call them by name. You are just thrilled beyond measure that they took the time to come, that little something that was stirring in them, your Holy Spirit was igniting in them and wanting them to come. So thank you, Father. Thank you for their obedience to you. This coming is a holy and living sacrifice. It's their act of worship. Help them to see that, Father, that every time that they're searching and they're learning and they're thinking about you, they're offering themselves as a holy and living sacrifice. I pray, Father, that as they leave this room, that your Spirit would be ever so working in their lives and giving them this deep hunger and longing to want to run to you and to listen to what you have to say to them. Just thank you for the honor and the privilege you give each and every one of us, because you don't need us. We know that. We realize that. Yet you choose to use us. And for that, we say thank you. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, for you are the only one who's worthy of it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. So now comes our hard part, and that's trying to exercise a new muscle. and to learn a new way to think about God and to think about ourselves and to be open to what's next. So if you go back to your handout for a minute, I just want to walk you through on page 5. So what Sue gave you is all the steps to start with the journaling process. The next step for you is to make sure that you're starting to build confidence as your muscles are working on when you're hearing God's voice and when you're not. So those questions there are for you to develop some confidence in the voices and in the thoughts and in the visions and in the songs and in the words that you write so that you can start to walk in a new way. Down at the bottom is one of Sue's big questions that she's taught me and many others. And that is if you get stuck and if you feel like you're not sure, then just ask God a question. Just like you would a friend, just like you would your spouse, just ask the question and keep asking questions until you get the answer. If you flip with me to the back, the back is a helpful guide, hopefully, for you to start to put some order to, so now what do I do? So the next steps. The first thing you need to do clearly is get a journal, right? Or a tablet. But that's the next step. So those are some next steps for you there. As you listened to Sue and you heard the questions she asked, she also gave some very specific scripture. What a great idea to spend one of your first times looking at this, opening your own Bible and seeing what your translation says, and putting that in your journal to give yourself a foundation. Then, this is a surprise because we didn't know we were going to do this. So, like Emily said, we really thought maybe 30, maybe 50 tops would be interested in this. But as we unpack this with Sue, Sue's done a really good job of trying to figure out how to make bite-sized chunks of a new way of thinking for us and a new way of practicing how to hear God's voice. So this was intended to just be one session. But surprise, there's three. So if you'd like to have it for your calendar, we've got those on the back of the sheet down at the bottom on the dates and what specifically we'll be covering on those dates. So Sue mentioned it a little bit. The 31st is the next one, and that's dealing with our identity. And she'll walk us through similarly like how we did tonight with listening prayer, but that one we're going to focus on our identity, what God calls us, who we are in Him. And then the last one is healing prayer. So you're welcome to join back. You don't have to do anything fancy. Just come. And know that we'll be here, and know that there'll be water, and know that we'll give you a handout, and we'll help walk you through. So talking about walking through, I want to turn your attention to this. So there's some friends that are going to be handing these out while I'm talking about this. This is if you want some help with practical next steps like homework. What do I do first? What do I do second? That's what's listed here. So between now and the next time we meet, there's 5 weeks. So coincidentally, there's 5 weeks of homework. So these are stepped out so that you can do it a little bit at a time. So just like with our kids, we teach them how to crawl, then we teach them how to walk, and then they run. So it's the same kind of concept, so that you can take some little steps here and little steps there, and then they all build on each other. The one thing that we would encourage you, and those of you that are here from Kensington are used to hearing us talk about small groups, but if this is a new concept to you, what we would say is this. We're meant to live in community with each other. We're not meant to do things in isolation. And so we would encourage you that if you came with some folks or if you're sitting next to somebody that you've just connected with, consider being part of a small group over the next 5 weeks where you can do this together, where you can do the homework on your own and then come back as a small group of 3 or 4 of you and walk through the agenda. that's a way for you to strengthen the muscle, because then it's not just your practice. Now you're getting a chance to have a peek into what other people are hearing and to help them walking through. Is it God's voice they're hearing? Is it not God's voice they're hearing? So it's another opportunity for you to really get good at this. So along those lines, and then I'll let you leave on time. The other thing that we would really encourage strongly is to share this with others. So not only is there biblical truth in why that's important, because that's what Jesus tells us, right? Is go and make disciples, share with other people. But also what we know is the more we repeat it to somebody, the more we learn. So share this with others. Share it with some trusted friends. Share it with your kids. Share it with a spouse. Find somebody to just talk about it with, because the more your brain has to attach a sequence to explain it, the better you're going to understand it. The other thing I wanted to mention is over on the wall, over by the door, you'll see that there's a women's ministry list. If you are not on our list so that you get information about events like this and other things that are going on at Kensington, we don't want to miss that chance to connect with you. So we'll take it off the wall and put it on the table. But if you'd like to add your email address, then we can keep in touch with you and let you know when things are coming up and let you know what's going on in our women's ministry. We talked about insights. There's other opportunities, too, so that you have an idea about what's going on here and how you can plug in. Did I miss anything, Patty, Sue, Ann? Okay. So I know Sue already prayed, but it's what I've practiced all the time, so I'm going to pray again. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the fact that as women, that you are growing us, that you're encouraging us, that you're bringing us closer to you, because you want us to know who we are, and we are your daughters. We are your beloved. Lord, please be patient with us as we walk through this. Be gentle with us as we walk through this. And Lord, I pray that you give us all a stirring so that we can't walk away from the homework. We can't walk away from what it is that Sue said, because you are calling us to your throne. You're calling us to sit with you. Don't let us get distracted by other things. Keep bringing us back, Lord, just like you always do. I pray that you would protect everyone, protect our minds and our hearts, that you would go with us as we leave, and until we meet again, that we would be forever aware of you in nature, you in song, you in people, and you in events, because you're speaking to us all the time. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Oh, and go eat. Thank you.